On the line is Tom Holland. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for being with us in the program.
Thank you for asking me, and I apologize for not speaking in Dutch.
Yeah, well, I understand English, but I hope our listeners will also understand.
I hope so too.
Why did you choose the Netherlands as the first country to publish your book?
Because my Dutch publisher were very keen to bring it out here before the English version came out, because,
uh-huh,
of course, everyone in the Netherlands speaks such good English,
yeah,
that there's always the problem that people will rush out and buy the English copy rather than the Dutch translation.
Okay, so it's a business argument, actually.
Well, I think, and also I think it reflects their belief in the book, which, of course, is wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And I've always enjoyed coming to the Netherlands and to Amsterdam,
yeah,
to promote my books, and always done well here.
I see you published books with the names of Rubicon, Millennium, mm-hmm, and Persian Fire. So you're very much into the history of the Islamic regions.
Well, I'm interested in ancient and early medieval history, so the history of the great empires, Greece and Persia and Rome,
uh-huh,
and then what happens when they collapsed.
Uh-huh.
And so having, as you said, written about the ancient Romans, the ancient Persians, the ancient Greeks, I then wrote a book about what happened after the Roman Empire collapsed in, mm-hmm, Western Europe. And then I thought, well, it would be interesting to write about what happened after the Roman Empire collapsed in the East, because,
yeah,
of course, that's the period that gives birth to Islam.
Yeah, and you write in your book at Via de Beest in Dutch, according to your view, the Islam came into existence as a melting pot. Can you explain what do you mean by that?
Well, I think that the traditional story that is told about Muhammad is that he receives his revelations from God,
mm-hmm,
and he gets them in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
And of course, if you are a believing Muslim, then you'll have no problem accepting that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not a Muslim, and I am not a Muslim, therefore, of course, by definition, I think that the Quran doesn't come from God.
Yeah.
And so therefore, if you're a historian, you've got to work out, well, where might these revelations have come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what's interesting when you look at the Quran, not as a holy text, but as something that might have been written in the early 7th century,
mm-hmm,
you look at it and you see, yes, this does seem to emerge from a whole melting pot of different faiths and beliefs. Because what's interesting about the Middle East,
mm-hmm,
is that it's like a sort of great bubbling cauldron of different beliefs, different doctrines, different notions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, to mix my metaphors a bit, the Quran is like a great lake into, mm-hmm, which all the various streams and rivers of this end period of antiquity of the ancient world is flowing in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, often the Quran and Islam is cast as something that's completely different, a break from the ancient world. But I think, actually, that it's, in a way, more helpful to look at it and see it as being, in a way, the culmination of the ancient world, even as it is also the beginning of something very new.
Well, it's well known that Christianity is also part of Islam. Actually, the stories of the Bible also appear in the Quran. But what other beliefs did you trace in the Quran?
Well, I think they are mainly biblical, and that's what's so interesting, because Muslim tradition says that Muhammad is illiterate, so he couldn't have read these stories,
mm-hmm,
that he lives in a city surrounded by pagans who worship idols, there are no Jews or Christians, so he couldn't have picked it up from them,
mm-hmm,
and he's in the middle of a desert, sort of 800 miles from Palestine. So
yeah,
the point of that, I think, is to demonstrate that Muhammad must have received his information from God, because he had no other way of getting it.
Yeah.
But of course, if you don't believe that he gets his revelations from God, then you have to explain how and why these biblical traditions, what are they doing?
But how did Mohammed hear these stories? He couldn't read.
Well, I think that he probably could read.
Uh-huh.
There seems to be some evidence that the Quran is very bookish. It seems to be a book that's composed by someone who's very familiar with books.
Yeah.
And I think that these later traditions grow up,
uh-huh,
for the same reason that Christians say that Mary is a virgin. Because,
yeah,
if you're saying that God has entered the world and changed it,
mm-hmm,
then you need to demonstrate that there could have been no mortal contamination.
Yeah.
So just as Jesus for Christians is God, and therefore you cannot countenance the fact that he might have been the son of a man, so therefore his mother has to be a virgin. So likewise, if you're a Muslim, you believe the Quran is the word of God, you can't possibly countenance the fact that it might have been influenced by other mortal writings. So you have to locate Muhammad in the middle of a desert, so that there can be no question but that he gets it from God.
But it, that's what you're saying, it's not true.
Well, I'm not a Muslim, so I yes, of course, by definition, I don't think it comes from God.
No. And Ben, and who wrote the Quran? Did Muhammad do that, or people after him?
Well, the tradition says that Muhammad didn't write it down, and that his followers collected his sayings and put them together later, and I think there's probably quite a lot of truth in that. I think there's no doubt that the Quran is indeed associated with Muhammad. He's the man who utters it. The issue as to when his sayings are finally collected together and put together in a single book is very difficult to trace, because one of the problems with writing about the history of early Islam is that the sources for it are all pretty late. You know, they're almost sort of 200 years after the death of Muhammad, and people, you know, as you know, following the news, people's sense of what happens changes very fast as time goes by, and over the span of a century and a half or more, particularly in a time when so much upheaval and change, the issue of how much trust you can put in what people are writing 200 years later is a difficult one.
Aren't you afraid to be accused of blasphemy by Muslims because of the book?
Well, I wouldn't have thought they would accuse me of blasphemy, because I'm not a Muslim. I mean, obviously, if I were a Muslim, then of course it would be blasphemous. But since I'm not, I think you have to belong to a faith to blaspheme it.
Yeah, but they won't be glad with the book.
I'm sure they will dismiss it and say that I've got the wrong end of the stick, because I'm not a believer, and I haven't, you know, I haven't accepted the truth that they believe in. But that's the nature of disbelief, I suppose. Not everyone can be a Muslim.
So you don't expect any problems this evening at the Leitzer Plain at the Bali when you will be talking there.
I would be very surprised if there was. I'm sure there will be rigorous debate. I'm sure there will be lots of people out to disagree with me.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there won't be any trouble beyond that.
Okay.
Because I have total confidence in the ability of people to engage in dialogue in a civilized manner and not resort to anything uncivilized.
Yeah, that's what you're saying, because you're a scientist, but there are a lot of different people.
I think that if you're afraid to say something because you believe that a tiny minority might then get so upset as to threaten you, it's a sad state if you feel that you can't then say things. And equally, I think that it's, in a sense, I mean, it's casting your anxieties are then maybe making you see people in a bad light.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wish you a happy and peaceful meeting in the Bali at the Leitzplein.
Thank you very much.
Tom Holland. And thank you very much. En hij heeft het boek uitgebracht. Het vierde beest is in de Nederlandse boekwinkels gisteren uitgekomen. En vanavond spreekt hij dus in de Bali in Amsterdam.